Lots of channels, nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel, straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 28th day of August 2023. And tonight we have the fellow... The fellow with a dog, and that's right, none other than Derek on the board. Hey, Derek.
How's it going?
There you go. And tonight we have out yonder, way out yonder, the man of renown, the legendary Pastor Joe.
I'm here. Glad to be with you. We're not having the best phone communication here.
Yeah, we've been having some problems here ever since Thursday night. In fact, I'm going to start off by telling the folks there, I know many of you have been trying to communicate with us. Well, we have had our power knocked out. We've had our phones knocked out at the office. We've had no phone service and that. So it should be restored since last Thursday, and it should be restored sometime tomorrow, what they're telling us. We've had a lot of people here have really gotten it bad. We've had a lot of damages to a lot of the homes and that because of the weather. And number of tornadoes, Joe, they said that Ohio gets an average of 21 tornadoes a year. I know that seems like a lot, but according to the weather, the news here tonight, on the weather, they said we've already had 55 tornadoes in Ohio this year. That's a lot. It's really hard to believe, but I could believe the other night there was like 9 or 10 spotted right, you know, in our area, in a couple counties here. And I can tell you this, when I left the studio Thursday night, excuse me, by God's grace, we made it home. I was dodging huge branches. I mean, huge branches that were flying, and it seemed like I couldn't get away from it. You know, all the way from the studio, all the way home. It actually took me three times the normal time to get home, and because I had to go. I had to turn around and go back another way because trees were falling down across the road. And just as I was approaching one, it hit the gas line. And there was flames shooting across the road. And so, but I finally did make it home. And I thanked the good Lord when I got on a stretch of the road that had a fields, that had open fields and no trees, because, boy, I'm going to tell you, branches were flying everywhere. And across the road, and it was really an interesting ride home. I don't want to do that too many times, I can tell you that. But by God's grace, I made it home with no damage to myself or to the car either. So, my God's grace.
But normally you look for shelter, but this time you wanted to get out in the open away from things that were falling.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that sounds like a praise report that you probably heard the people tell you to, if you were in a safe location, to stay put, don't travel, but... You know, we're a long way from home, and I know you wanted to get back there, but I think it was, a great big thank you for delivering you and everyone safely through that mess.
Yeah, well, where I was when I left the station, they were saying tornado warning right there, so I wanted to get away from there. I want to get away from that area, if I could, and boy, I'm going to tell you, It got, the freeways weren't too bad, just a lot of wind, a lot of rain, but boy, once you got off the freeway, branches were flying every which way. I mean, I avoided the real huge ones, came very close, had some big ones just miss me, but I did run over some good-sized ones. Luckily, didn't do any damage to my car. But we did run over some good-sized branches. But we made it home, and I want to praise the good Lord that all of the folks out here, none of us in the church, and got hurt. I don't know if there were any people that were killed in the store. I didn't hear of any. But that's a wonder, because it was
nasty. That's a blessing. I know often when I pray, and I want to tell people this, I thank God for... the things that he kept me from that I didn't see, that I didn't know anything about. Too many times you hear stories of somebody that didn't get on an airplane for some reason or another. The plane crashed, people died. I've heard too many times somebody was going somewhere and changed their plan and there was a big accident along the way, or a tornado happened in that town. And too often we just forget. The Lord keeps us from things, and often we don't even know the dangers of the things he's kept us from.
Well, you're absolutely right.
I think it's a good thing to thank him for all those unknown blessings that he's given us.
Well, I've had some of those happenings, like you said. Am I coming in all right? Can you hear me?
I can hear you pretty well now.
Okay, because I got some strange feedback. But anyhow, I've had some of those cases.
It's going to be one of those nights. We just have to live with it.
Yeah. Also, we were on our way to Washington on January 6th, but the driver and the co-driver both got sick. They came down with a very bad case of stomach flu and some other things too,
nobody wanted to catch it. Nobody wanted to, So the trip got stopped,
canceled.
That kept all of you from being arrested as part of the January 6th mob.
Yep. Well, let's get into
that. Was a blessing in disguise.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, it's coming from either. Probably Joe's end. But anyhow, I'm talking.
Of course, it's always my fault.
The board op just told me it's not on our end here. So.
Oh, okay.
So there's only two ends, ours and yours.
All right. Do you want me to call in again?
No, we'll do all right. I mean, if you can hear me, I can hear you now.
Yes.
All right, so let's get into the scripture. Do you remember the title of the scripture?
Do you err not knowing the scriptures?
You do err not knowing the scriptures.
You do err, yes.
Yeah. And we're going to start in Matthew 22. Actually, tomorrow night we're going to go through 15 through 22 tomorrow night, because it has to deal. Tomorrow night we're going to have, Lord's willing, David Zuniga with us, and with Tactical Civics. And this is a very, very important program. And verses 15 through 22 really will deal, apply to that. But tonight we go to, in both cases, in Matthew 15 through 22, you've got the Pharisees and the Herodians. The Pharisees were the judicial, Herodians were the legislators, and they were going to try to put Jesus in a position where he could not give a right answer. In other words, these smart lawyers, crooked lawyers, came up with the idea. In other words, they had a battle of wits, and they came unprepared, okay? They were outmaneuvered and outclassed in every area. And tonight we're going to take a look at the Sadducees. They made the same mistake as the Pharisees and the Herodians. They came to the Lord Jesus trying to entrap him with a stupid question. And so why don't you just go ahead and read
it. It seemed very complicated, you know. But yeah. Not to the person who wrote the scriptures.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. So why don't you go ahead and read verses 23 through 33, and then we'll comment on it.
All right. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and ask him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there was with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. And Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine.
All right, so why do you think Moses gave them this doctrine of if a man dies, his brother should raise up seed or should marry his wife, and if she had a child, oh, let's say a man dies him and leaves his wife with a son, whatever property he left them will stay with that son, but the man takes the wife and raises the son as his own, okay? Why do you think that was?
I think it was so important for the son to have a father and for the protection for the mother and son, because in those days it was a very dangerous world, and people could take a wife and, you know, buy one, could capture one from another tribe.
Well, basically they were always going to war, you're right, and so there was a lot of single women around.
Mm-hmm.
And the women virtually had no rights. In other words, if they didn't have a covering, in other words, if they didn't have a husband or a father or a brother, if somebody came along and they saw this, they come across the woman and they demanded, where's your husband? If she couldn't prove that she had a husband or a brother, you know, a male to be her protector and mantle, then there was really no law. He could just take her, and that was
yeah.
allowed.
Except she used to be taken. Yeah.
Yeah. And so here, now they ask a very silly question. How often do you think you would have seven brothers all taking the same wife, one after the time? Now, if you had this case here, I could tell you this.
It's called hypothetical. It was just a hypothetical question. It wasn't a real question. It was designed to try and trick him.
Well, let me ask you this, Joe. If you had this woman and brother one dies, and so she goes to brother two, and brother two dies, and your brother three, are you going to wonder, hey,
I'm going to start to get nervous if I'm brother three.
And if you're brother four, then there's no doubt at all. You're going to say, nah, I don't think so, right?
Right. You better find somebody else to give you your covering.
Yeah. And so now here you've got the Sadducees, and you know why they're sad, right?
Right, because there's no resurrection.
That's why they were sad, because they didn't believe in a resurrection. What else did they, believe, though? They believed in worshiping angels. That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it?
Well, to them it did. It was a supreme being that was eternal, that could go up and down into heaven. I mean, I can kind of see it was the original children of God, the power. But in a way, God said, I am the only one, you know. But...
Now, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels, but are as. Now, not saying that they're angels. They're saying are as the angels of God in heaven.
Right.
Okay, so he's making a point. In heaven, we're no longer husband and wife. What are we?
Right.
We're brothers and sisters.
We're going to be different. Whatever form Jesus carries... that's the form we will be. And Scripture said we know not what form he will be in.
Right, but...
So we know that the Spirit, we will be given a glorified body, but it may not be anything like what we're expecting.
All right, so in heaven we're brothers and sisters. We're brothers
sisters. Okay. We're all sons and daughters of God.
Right, okay. And so... But he says, but as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living.
Living.
So he's referring to being the God of the living. Is that not dealing strictly with the resurrection?
Right, resurrection from the dead. Yes, we are living.
And when the multitude heard this, they were
them, but they didn't catch it, did they?
No. So when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Why were they astonished at his doctrine?
Because they'd been easily fooled, and he just made bigger fools of them, and they were just astonished. They thought they were quite clever.
Well.
Like a lot of people today, you know, there is no God. I'm smart enough. I can see that, you know, this we came from a, you know, blue-green pond scum, and this creature crawled out of the water and walked on land and evolved into monkeys, and monkeys became man, and it's a delusionary.
Well, the reason that they were so astonished with his doctrine is because... He spoke with absolute authority. He spoke with absolute. He didn't say, "Well, it could be, or should have been, or might have been, or could be." He spoke with knowing.
Yeah, you're right. I guess I'm just used to knowing that. Whenever he spoke, that's why people listened to him. He spoke with power, authority, with assurance, all through Scripture.
But why was he able to do that?
Everyone saw that.
So why was he able to do that?
Because he's the one who created the Scripture in the first place. He's the one who made the covenant with in the Old Testament. He's the one who talked to Moses. So, I mean, yeah.
All right. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, okay? We
All
have
right.
just two verses, 5 through 7. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Read verses 5 through 7.
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Okay, now who was it, Joe, that was the first to deny the absolute power of God?
The first?
Yeah.
I guess you go back...
Isaiah 14. Satan. Right, Satan denied the absolute power.
Or Lucifer, and that form of Lucifer was the first to deny.
He said that he was going to be God, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. He was going to be as the Most High.
Don't look like he made it, did it?
Don't think so, no.
Okay, now...
Something about this lake of fire that he will live in throughout eternity doesn't sound like he made it.
From such turn away... Okay, so today we have the very same thing, because for this sort are they which creep into houses. When he's referring to houses, what kind of houses is he referring to?
Church houses.
Church houses, okay, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Give me an example. What would be some really good examples of that today?
Tammy Faye Baker comes to mind. Kind of silly and, full of sin and gluttony and fleecing people, lying, stealing, cheating,
No, I'm referring to the ones that snuck into the churches to lead captive these silly women. She was one of the silly women.
Oh, okay. But, I thought she led a lot of other women.
Okay, but would you say Joe Osteen?
Oh, yes, he definitely, yeah.
Oh, would you say
and what's his name out there in the Crystal Cathedral?
Robert Shuler?
California, Reverend...
Robert Shuler?
Robert Shuler, right. Robert Shuler.
What about one? Rick Warren?
Definitely. We have a business model, not a church. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kenneth Copeland?
Yeah.
Okay.
Crystal Low Dollar. There's a whole list of them. And then there's that woman that has all the houses and airplanes.
Oh, yeah, I can't think of her name.
The real rich one that claims to be a pastor.
Well, you got Paula White also.
Yeah, but this one I'm thinking, yeah, the other one. But anyway, there's a whole list of them.
But then you've got the entire apostate. Now, so here, when we take a look at that, this sort of they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, where was the very first... example of one creeping in and leading captive a silly woman. What happened to the Garden of Eden? Who crept into the Garden of Eden?
The serpent, Satan, Lucifer coming down.
Did he say to Eve? Did God say? You shall surely
not die.
You shall surely not die. Seems to me that
you're not going to die. You know that.
It sure seems that she died.
Yep, she did eventually. Maybe not instantly,
she did. They did
lost her immortality.
No, she died instantly, spiritually, and she died later, physically. Okay,
physically, right?
She died. So now here, so she was led away with a diverse lust. What was her lust for, Joe?
Or that forbidden fruit for knowledge, knowledge that she thought God was hiding from her.
She was lusting for it because the fruit looked pretty good. It looked like it tastes good, didn't it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, here. Today...
But she also knew the tree was called the knowledge of good and evil.
Okay.
So she had a feeling that it had all kinds of things that she didn't know about that God did, and God was keeping it from her. And I think it was more than it looked good and tasted good. There was a hidden, maybe I'll gain power, maybe I'll gain knowledge, be more powerful than I am.
Okay, well it looks like. Joe, today we have the same thing that they're creeping into the colleges, especially too, not just in the church houses, but in the colleges.
They're creeping into the public school system. They're starting in pre-K. They're starting in the the Head Start programs. They're getting the communists. They're getting the feminists and the Marxists, they're starting right in preschool.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and I'll come back, and I'll finish this on the other side of the break. We'll be right back.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. When the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off. Is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more flack. And we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not.
No, we're not gonna take it anymore. We are not gonna take it anymore. Boy, there was some crackling and that going on there. Maybe some storms in the area somewhere. I don't know. But anyhow, okay. All right, now, let me go back to where we left off. Now, here, Joe, when we were talking about these silly women today, when I'm telling you that in universities there are more women today that are going to college than there are men. Now, the Bible makes it very clear that the area where men, okay, are tempted and by the enemy, he goes after them in the areas of pride.
Pride,
but,
right.
But in, with the women, it's in the area of discernment, discernment, okay? And so we're seeing today more women are going to college than men, and especially to law school like Harvard and Yale and Stanford. Now, in this, they want to, right now, they want to do away with the Constitution. They say the Constitution is outdated, and of course, they want to do away with the Bible, too. And so this is the mindset. These women are much more easily led into cultural Marxism than the men. We saw what went down first. The Girl Scouts went way down before the Boy Scouts did, didn't they?
Exactly.
The YWCA went down way faster than the YMCA, didn't it?
Yes, it went. And if you just look at the losing the sexual morality, women are, look at the following the idols like the Kardashians and all that, just the, it's starting, they're just going crazy with the dress and behavior and the drugs and sex and
Well, in fact, today, Joe, by a wide margin, a very wide margin, by 70, almost to 30%, women want to open their marriages, okay, by a wide margin. More women want to open their marriages than men. And what they're saying, I was listening to, you have these shows like this, what is it, The View and that. They're saying that today's woman can have their cake and eat it too. And by that, they're meaning that they're saying that they can have the stability of marriage and the family and a career, and at the same time, they can be sexually liberated and have a variety of sexual partners. Now, this is what they're saying, that today's woman can have their cake and eat it too. They can have the stability of a marriage and a family and a career, and also have a variety of sexual partners. So what happens in 90% of those open marriages? What's the end result?
Failure.
It's called divorce.
Divorce. Yeah.
And that's not what these women end up looking at. That wasn't supposed to, that wasn't what I was taught. I wasn't taught that. I was supposed to have, but why is that? Okay.
I'm not quite sure just how you want, what you're trying to get at.
Okay, the Bible demands when he tells you women to respect and obey your husbands, be respectful, reverence, and obey your husbands. Even gives
well,
an example.
Is totally against that. So they're basically in total rebellion against God. If they're in rebellion against their marriage, they're in rebellion against God. And the further out they go from that, the farther away from God they get.
Okay. So they want the women. The Bible tells the husbands, love your wife as Christ has loved the church. You know, I've done a lot of marriage counseling over the years, and it's always the same thing, Joe. The woman always says, when they're having a problem, I don't think he loves me. He doesn't love me. And the man always says, she doesn't respect me. So it goes all the way back to what Scripture says, you know, for husbands, love your wives, okay? Now, it was an interesting thing, too, because they had this questionnaire, why these women, when they have these open marriages, that they'll perform sexual acts with their boyfriends that they would never perform with their husbands, things that they would have never do with their husbands. And when asked about that, the answer was because they cared about what their husband thought of them. They cared about the opinions that their husbands had of them, but with their boyfriends, they didn't care what their boyfriends, so they would do things with them that they would never do with their husbands. Now, and they referred to themselves as liberated, sexually liberated. What does God's Word, the Bible, refer to them as?
Whoredom, whores.
Whores, right. Okay, so there, and where lies the problem. See, it used to be, It used to be that men had the major problem. Back in the old days, it was the man who was leaving the family, leaving the marriage, and it was the man who was more guilty of infidelity. Today it's turned totally, completely around. And so we're seeing, boy, we're seeing Romans chapter 1, you know, aren't we? I mean, in full view, aren't we? I mean, it's Romans chapter 1 in spades taking place
exactly,
today.
Exactly, just all over everywhere you look.
Yep.
And around, in fact, it leads me to what I think is probably the most important story that we've told in a long time, let alone just for a lead story for the night. You and I, way back, saw the left taking over education. And when you control, like, Abraham Lincoln, you know, the philosophy in the schoolroom in one generation becomes the philosophy in government in the next. And what the children learn becomes the lead in society. The headlines from Fox News, of all places, Marxist teacher called for forceful cultural revolution, now lands seat on state legislature. He's a Democrat. And what's going on in Colorado, their teachers union is adopting a anti-capitalistic policy, but that's kind of a sideline. This teacher is calling for this forceful cultural revolution against whiteness, was voted in by the Democrats, the demon rats, to fill a state House of Representatives seat. This Tim Hernandez. So he was voted by all these Democrats to fill the seat of a lady that was elected to the Denver City Council. And if you look back there, he's got a sign in his classroom calling for dismantling the white systems. He's an open Marxist, and he's got posted diatribe, and he speaks at protests of organized unions. He pushes the unions. And he's talking about his social media. I want to tear up some expletive deletive. I want to, you know, stir things up for you. Are you ready for this? And it goes on what he's teaching the kids, to have this revolution. You have to get out there. You can't just have Marxist theory. You have to get out there into the streets. You got to get into the workplace. You got to get into your families. And now you've got to be an activist. This is junior high type kids. And he's been teaching lessons on communist theory in the classroom. And he's talking about, I'm a testament to the work that we have to do. This is sacred. This is powerful. This is necessary. I tell my students the truth about Marxism, and that our cultural, you know, is all based on white supremacy, and it's all wrong. And he said even the United States should belong to the Aztecs. And then he teaches this. This is what he's been teaching, folks. The violent movement in China, the Cultural Revolution, is derived from communist totalitarian history. The Chinese Cultural Revolution was a purge. Remember, it persecuted millions of people by Mao. And the movement opposed the four olds. Now, this is what this Tim teaches. Old ideas, old culture, old customs, and old habits. And we have to destroy the destruction of cultural artifacts. Like, you got to get rid of things like the old Bible, the old school books. Here's your Democrat Party, folks. A Marxist cultural person teaching revolution. He wants revolution now. It has to be forceful. You have to get into the workplace, into politics, into the home. And you have to control the schools, which the Democrats are doing. And I've got about three things to go with it, but I'd like your comment on that article, Pastor, because isn't this kind of what we've been trying to tell people for 20, 30 years about cultural Marxism, the revolution going on, and what they're trying to do?
Well, I know every single Marxism in Congress and the Senate. Every single one has got a D behind their names, folks. This is
right. Got a D behind the name. And I was one of the first people in the United States to talk about the socialists in Congress. The, what was it called then? The, and the senior moment. They formed the, nobody knew about it at the time. It was kind of secret.
Yeah, well, yeah. I remember at the very beginning, Dennis Kucinich was the one who was the head of it. He seems to have gone somewhat in the other direction lately. But I know it was a socialist.
No, actually, what's his name that's still out there?
Not Bernie Sanders.
You know, the old Bernie Sanders was the one. It was the caucus. And it was on the Democrat Socialists of America's website.
Yeah.
They hid it on the DSA. It was on their website.
But he was in the Senate.
They were proudly socialists, and they hid it. And it was a friend of mine, Henry Lamb, who first discovered it on there. And we started talking about it, sent the information to all the news agencies around the country. And we were amazed when the major mainstream media did not want to share this information. They eventually took it off the DSA and hid the Progressive Caucus. We couldn't find it. And guess where it turned up? On Bernie Sanders' personal account.
Yep.
This was way back in the early 90s.
So, yeah, so I know that. But
a new thing, yep.
What
you
I was telling...
A lot of listeners
yeah, I know, Joe, but what I was telling you was that Bernie Sanders was the one that was involved in the Senate. Dennis Kucinich was right here. He was actually like the chairman or whatever of that. I remember that. That was at the time he was doing that strange thing with that Hollywood actor, the one who was the New Age, who believed a lot. The woman, I'm trying to think of her name right now. She was the one, she starred in a number of movies. Her brother was the fellow that played in Bonnie and Clyde. You know who I'm talking about. It's very well known.
It's totally, I'm not good with movies. I'm
yeah, totally new movies. Age. But anyhow, that's what I was telling you. I remember very clearly at that time because Dennis Kucinich was right from our area. Now, it seems like he's kind of going in the other direction now. Okay, so anyhow,
he might have woken up, but I remember people. You need to one thing remember: when I went on this website, there were a lot of organizations that were sponsoring this Progressive Caucus, and one of them was the AFL-CIO, National Council of La Raza. That's the one that wants to give Southern California and all that Southern U.S. back to Mexico. The National Education Association, the NEA, the big teachers.
That's been a communist organization from the very beginning. It's a hardcore communist organization.
Right. They were one of the first groups to back the program.
Remember, we had one of the heads of the ACLU here on the program some years ago, and I said, why are you become a communist organization? He said, we're not communists. And I said, yes, you are. And he said, no, we're not. I said, okay, tell me one, because, see, they have a constitution, okay? Give me one difference, just one difference in your plank and in the 10 planks of the Communist Party. Give me one difference. He couldn't give me a difference. I said the same thing with that prosecutor, that district attorney from California, who said again, well, I don't consider us to be communist. And I asked him the same question, give me one difference in your plank in the communist, and he couldn't do it, okay?
Because
they're communist.
I know Catholic Charities was on here, the National Organization for Women.
Yeah.
Remember Rush called them feminazis.
Nasty old women. And the NOW, we call them nasty old women.
Yeah, nasty old women. But there were so many of these groups, union groups, different things, and the Unitarian Church.
That's the Satanist church.
That's the Satanist church. You got it. So all this stuff we brought out many, many years ago, talked about it, and was warning people. And now we've got things like this, Pastor. Andreas Smith still is a college professor at the University of California, Riverside. Well, she got accused of lying about her Native American background to retire from this college. Well, they found out she lied. She has no Indian blood. Sounds like somebody else we know, Pocahontas, right? So here you have, at the University of California, a tenured professor who lied for years to get a job, and she's a ethics studies professor, okay? She teaches ethics. And she lied about her whole background to get this job. Now, they're going to allow her, they found out she's a liar, they're going to let her continue to teach classes into this fall, and then she's going to retire with full benefits. She'll keep her honorary title, and to top it off, the university is going to pay her $5,000 to cover the legal costs she undertook to resolve the complaint about her fabricated heritage. And the article's got all kinds of genealogists and researchers and Indians all said that there are no links with her in the Cherokee Nation. There's nothing in her background, no genetic DNA, nothing. And so what do? They reward her for years of lying. And here she's teaching ethics, and at the same time she's totally fake and phony. Even her degree was phony.
Now, what does it say, Joe, in Isaiah chapter 5? Woe unto them that put good for evil, but bitter for sweet. And that's what they do. The satanic communists do. They reward evil, and they punish good. They reward the honest.
And they're doing it. There's a total case of evil being rewarded. Here's another one. Daycare worker allowed to walk free after being accused of taking sexually explicit photos of at least 4 3-year-old children, sharing them with the county's first trans lawmaker. This is from the London Daily Mail, and this was 38-year-old Lindsay Groves, and this accounts, she'd been working at the Creative Minds Daycare Center, where she took nude images of napping children, sent them to her girlfriend, who at the time was New Hampshire's first ever elected trans lawmaker. And guess what? They allow her to walk free, no charges, no punishment, no jail time. She's not even going to be listed as a, predator or anything. So, again, what did you just say? Evil gets rewarded.
I'm surprised they didn't give her a promotion, Joe.
A promotion, yeah.
Yeah, well, you talked about the Indians there. There's some good news. Look who is on anti-woke warpath to reclaim Redskins' name. An article by our old friend Peter LaBarbera.
Barbara, right, yep.
Mm-hmm. And so Peter was the one. Peter was the one that filmed that thing in San Francisco where Nancy Pelosi stood right next door, right next to two sodomite men, to sodomizing, bare naked in the street in the public, sodomizing each other, and Nancy Pelosi was the one who was standing next to them saying, Jesus would be pleased with how you're showing love to one another. And Peter LaBarbera was the one that filmed that. He films things that are strange and bizarre, and he filmed that whole thing. It was what a horrible, wicked, ugly thing.
We saw things I wish I'd never seen, but the thing that got me the worst in that film that Peter took there at that sodomite festival people were walking around. They had children in strollers. People were walking around with children, you know, big enough, like three, four,
that
five.
That dingbat grandmother, that dingbat, she had little, her grandson and granddaughter, one in either hand.
They were taking pictures with their children present or grandchildren. It was like they were going to Disneyland. Look at these people. Look at their behavior. We're taking pictures, children. Pay attention. I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was like this was unreal. It had to be fake.
That dingbat Democrat grandmother was showing those two little girls, that little boy and that little girl. You had two sodomites, one of them performing oral sex, and she was telling them, this is what adults do. This is being a real Democrat. This is where the Democrat Party is today. It's where it's going to now. But let me go back to what I was saying here. This is... The new good news is, with a new owner in town promising to return the Washington, D.C. football franchise to its 1980 glory, many of the team's fans are rallying behind the American Indian Group's petition to reclaim the old Redskins name and logo in what has the potential to be a dramatic reversal of wokeism. So it's the American Indians Association who want to bring the name back to the Washington Redskins, and they want to undo the woke. And so the change.org petition is the creation of Native American Guardians Association, change the Washington Commanders back to the Washington Redskins starting on June 21st. Well, if they can do that, we might get our Cleveland Indians. I won't go to a game since they changed their name, since they bow down to the god of woke. I won't go to a game. And a lot of people quit going to the, because they changed their name to the Guardians, and they won't go there anymore because of that. And so, you know, there's a price to pay for woke, isn't there? But
there sure is. But when you said that, it was just like, you think the Indians were never really, they said right up front, they didn't mind. They had nothing against the name to start with, but nobody listened to them. Nobody, they just went ahead and the woke crowd pushed and pushed and pushed this, but they weren't consulted. Here were the ones they kept saying how offended they were, and they're going,
yeah,
we weren't offended, but the press didn't talk to us. We tried to say we weren't offended, and nobody listened, wanted to hear.
We're coming up to a break, so just before we get to the break there, Joe, now, what do all of these universities have in common? The San Diego State University, Mount Sinai, Mount Saint Mary University, the Dominican University of California, the Pitzer College, Pomona College, Santa Clara University, Soka University, the University of San Francisco. They all have one thing in common. And that one thing,
don't teach education.
Right. Well, in order to attend there, you have to take the dumb shot. You have to take the dumb shot. You see,
dumb shot. Uh-huh.
You can't. Right. What they call the vax. Now,
the poison poke, we call it.
Joe Obama Biden says, come next month, September, he's bringing the vax back, and everybody's going to have to get vaxxed, and everybody's going to have to wear masks again.
Wait a minute. He's ordering them to make one that works this time, and he's going to bring it back. But he's told them they've got a couple of months to make one that works.
Well, they say they got it ready to go.
Funny about that. Doesn't that sound a little weird? That,
yeah,
you know,
September.
I want it so you will make it.
Yeah. In September, they say they're supposed to, the middle of next month, they're going to start trying to make it mandatory that everybody take it. I got a feeling they're going to get a whole lot of pushback. Oh, I know that they're going to get a whole lot of pushback on this one. We'll be back. We're coming to a hard break. So we'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away. Much, much more to come. Be right back. Don't go away.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted.
Based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers.
And walk around the office.
On eggshells.
And have my words policed.
By HR.
Words like
grandfather.
Peanut gallery.
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.